Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we're going to have, I think, a part two of a show we did a few weeks back with Miss Vicki Werner. And it was a powerful show, and it got a lot of hits on my podcast page. And I can understand why, because what we're talking about is something that it affects everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, what walk of life you come from. I think everybody has dealt with illness, either themselves or loved ones or friends. And we're living in a time now where it seems to be everybody's touched by an untoward event that's medically based. And instead of us living in fear, I'm a big proponent of taking personal responsibility, making conscious choices, not out of fear, but out of knowledge. And what I find is that we don't know a lot. None of us do. But instead of people wanting to seek answers, they seem to want someone to tell them what to do. And fear is one of the drivers, in my opinion, of disease. So what Miss Werner offers is somebody who's been in the trenches, physically, emotionally, has seen family members herself, you know, who've come out the other side with a wealth of knowledge, with a frame of reference, and more importantly, with the love of humanity and the willingness to share that. So, Ms. Werner, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, because your book, The Secret to Healing and Recovery, is something that we all, it's something that we all need. And you are kind enough to put this into a format that people can go to, learn from, expand their frame of reference, and I think take their power back. And it's all about that, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I had an opportunity in my own life with being somebody who crossed over and had a near-death experience and searched so many places for answers. And I think anybody who is in that desperate state, of the natural inclination is to reach outside of yourself for answers. And we all do that at some point. But I also got to witness being a child of somebody who was very sick for many years. And then again, as my precious husband nearly died a few years after I was in the recovery period. And so I got to witness both aspects of someone who was healing and searching for answers, and also as a caregiver and a bystander in the family, watching the dynamics of those. And I feel like bridging that together has been a great opportunity for me.
And it's interesting in a way that when you really meet illness, it really brings out the best in people and sometimes not so good in people. And from the person who's ill, from their standpoint, you're in the midst of fighting for your life in most of these instances. And you can speak to this. What is the thing that made you finally say, for me, it's almost like I can't control something. I need to give it to God and then let God do. What is the thing that got you out of the mode of the moment, because you're reliving in it, to think of something bigger?
Well, I felt when I crossed over and had my near-death experience, I had crossed over for 8 minutes from the 3D paradigm. It was much longer on the other side, of course. You know, we hear about those kind of stories where you feel like, you know, I was there for hours, it felt like. But the key point that brought me back was that the beings that I saw on the other side were communicating with me, and they told me that if I chose to come back, I would definitely be in a body that was going to be very ill for a number of years. I was aware of that. But I also saw how each one of my family members was going to live their life without me. And my youngest child at the time was 7 years old. And she, in the forecast that they showed me, there was a screen, they showed me each one of my family members, including my husband, how they lived out their life. And a lot of it made sense until they got to my 7-year-old. And they showed that she suffered an enormous amount of mental and emotional trauma. and she specifically was not going to live the life purpose that she had contracted to live if I wasn't here. And that alone was the driving force to bring me home. And so I turned to them and I said, I need to go back. Sophie needs me. And coming back into a body with such excruciating pain, and the only way I can describe the level of pain is from a 1 to 10 scale. It was a 24. I was in so much excruciating pain, but I just had to live. And I felt that I reached out so many places and healers, and I was grateful for every nugget. I was grateful for every bit of hope that was presented to me. But I ultimately knew that I needed to be in the driver's seat. And I think that's the biggest awakening that happens when we go through these type of traumas and we go through these illness experiences, that if we do our work and if we dial in deep, go deep within, if we put a mirror in front of us about who we really are and what we're here to do, that when we get on the other side of this, we really love the person that we've become because we've honored the path. We see that the journey has never been easy, but the journey has definitely been worth it. And maybe we don't have all the answers as to why we go through an experience that we do. And many of us won't have those answers until we cross over, possibly. But to have nuggets of wisdom that give hope, to give something to hold on to grasp, to give something that we can have a vision for something outside of the struggle that we're in, is enough that can continue on that path. And there isn't anything that's a more driving force than trauma or pain, because we all know what it feels like. We've all had times of betrayal. We've all had times of some level of pain, some level of illness, some level of trauma. And just trauma alone, there's an enormous amount of people who are experiencing trauma, and autoimmune diseases are very high right now, and get cancer rates, all of these illnesses. We could dial it back and see why and how this all came together. But ultimately, where we're at now is we have to own that our bodies, that we're a sovereign of our bodies. And that means we take control of our health, and we take care of our, and that includes our mental and emotional health as well.
It seems like the emotional well-being of people it's really being highlighted now. It seems to be everywhere. We're even, we're seeing people taking emotional breaks from their routine, from their profession. We see athletes doing that. It seems like for the first time, we're looking at our bodies as more than just physical, that it is emotional. And just, we're going to take a break in a minute or so, but I just want to highlight what you said. It seems that you had a sense of purpose that drove you to say, I'm coming back for a purpose. And that was probably the pilot light that got lit, that helped drive you when you returned to your body and to what you do now. Is that fair to say? It seems like that's what happened.
Absolutely. And I think anybody who has been in that crisis state, that whether it's internal or external, we reach a point where we ask why. And we, that can be the case if we're in a doctor's office and get a diagnosis. That can be the case of a car accident. That could be the case of a sudden loss of a family member, that we ask why that becomes our first question. And the answers aren't always going to show up, but if we start dialing in and go into that stillness and go into the quietness and believe that the world is conspiring on our behalf, that nature has order, that life has purpose, that everything and everyone is purpose, and that we were not put on this planet to suffer without something as an endpoint. And suffering, although it's an enormous challenge, and consciously we wouldn't be sitting here going, whatever happens, make sure I have a near-death experience and I'm bedridden for 8 months and I'm in a lot of pain for many, many years and I struggle and can't eat anything and I have nerve pain and all of those things. We would never say that on a conscious level. But if we get out of the ego and we get out of the story and realize that here we are on this planet for growth, for opportunities, and for learning and expansion, then we can start looking at it through the lens of opportunity. Then we can start looking at it as an opportunity to really get to know the soul, really get to know our purpose, and really get to know our level of compassion and our emotional and mental management. And ultimately, what we're really here to do is manage energy. And there is no greater school than illness to do so.
I think that's a great place to take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Vicki Werner, the author of The Secret to Healing and Recovery. And you should go to her website, actually Facebook, Intuitive Accelerated Mentoring. Is it a company or is it a group that you manage that people can actually use your services, right? It's a dynamic group, isn't it?
Correct. Yes, we do have, my husband and I do that together. We mentor people who are on a healing journey. You know, from trauma or emotional health coach, is from support for that level, that it, sometimes one-on-one and sometimes in groups. My husband's doing a group right now with his mentoring, but yes, that's definitely an opportunity.
I think that's really neat because it just gives everybody an easy access. No one has to really work hard to find help. It seems sometimes that, well, I think the stigma for being more aware of what you need is okay to ask. But this is something that's going from internal. You're not talking about pharmacopoeia or pharmaceuticals. You're talking about the person connecting with their inner self and their spirit, their soul, right?
Correct. I think it's really healthy to set the baseline of the pharmaceutical world and the medical world, that the expenses of in our country, the most expensive expense that we have is housing, and the second most expensive expense we have is healthcare. And more people have been bankrupt because of healthcare. We have more opportunity and more specialty clinics that have come up around the world and in our country, and yet we are sicker, in more debt, we are filled more chronic fatigue, more inflammation, more autoimmune than ever before. And we are at a turning point here in history, that we could all look at this world right now in a space of fear and wanting to hide out and just let the rest of the world fight their battles and we reemerge. But we're not going to have the growth that is available if we do that. If we really change the lens once again and see that this is an opportunity to stand up for our sovereignty, to be a choice of what goes in your body, to be a choice of how you care for your body, and that you become the student and the teacher of what your body is capable of doing, and not letting anybody who has an end goal that is a financial gain, that the goal in healthcare systems has never been to heal, because if they heal you, they remove their dollar, they remove their patient. If you're healed, that's never going to be the goal. And their approach from a medical standpoint is always going to be a Band-Aid on symptoms, but very, very seldom, especially in a medical model, in an allopathic medical model, are they going to go to the root cause. It's has always been to cut it out or to kill it off or remove it. But then we still, again, haven't learned. We didn't enter a space of consciousness as why was it there in the first place? Why did this breakdown happen in the first place? What were the dominoes that led us to this position now? And if we don't learn from that, it either reoccurs or we missed an opportunity for growth.
Well, I think it comes down to personal responsibility and the awareness of what's best for you. Instead of it coming from outside, it needs to come from inside out. And I think from a patient standpoint, it seems the patients have ceded their power. You know, they're following along I think most have a question mark about if they're doing the right thing, but yet they're just going forward with that question never answered and with no pushback. And from an emotional standpoint, at some point, there will be an awakening. And I think it will come out. What was this whole 2-year history that we've been experiencing with our healthcare choices, with this technocracy, with this totalitarian medical system, Mm-hmm. It will come online and people will figure out that maybe we didn't do the right thing and maybe we're led down the wrong path. That's going to be an extremely emotionally devastating path that opens up. How can they prepare themselves for this? It's coming.
Yes,
it is. There.
It is coming. And I think we can look back on maybe 10 or 15, maybe 20 years ago, that if we did a hierarchy of value in our community, we looked at our medical industry as being the saving grace. We looked at them as the backup in case of any emergency. We looked at them literally one level below God. And so if our doctors gave us a diagnosis, if we went to a doctor and they gave us a prognosis, they gave us an outline of what we needed to do, that was taken as gospel. And people were shamed by their family if they decided to bypass what medical recommendations were. If people were criticized, and we have been criticized if we go against the narrative. But we have to remember, what is the ulterior motive here? What is the energy behind it? What is the intention, and what is the end? And what is the end goal? And if their end goal at the end of the day, they forget, you really are a number. You really are just one more person. And our healthcare system has worked so stringent in making sure that you don't have opportunity to ask many questions, that you are really left flailing. I mean, on average, we see a medical doctor in an appointment on average between 9 and 11 minutes. And you haven't even developed a relationship in that time, energetically, let alone on a physical stance. And if you just barely got a diagnosis, if you're in there for the first time after feeling something isn't right for a number of months, and as an example, if it's cancer, or that you've been given the sentence of, a life of suffering, or, a death sentence, I promise the first thing that happens is you will go into fight or flight, and that your brain from that moment forward, you will not comprehend anything beyond that, because you are from a perspective of the brain, you are now in survival mode. And so you can't think clearly. You aren't making rash decisions. And unfortunately, they know that. And they use that time to tell you exactly how you're going to move forward from this, and that you remove the ability to have critical thinking. And if there's any time in history that critical thinking needs to come to the table, it's today. And that means what's going on externally in our environment, what goes on in our media, and what goes on in our celebrities, what goes on in our home, and what goes on in our body. We have to have critical thinking. We need to think beyond what has been presented, because if we don't, we fail again, once again, to see the opportunity.
I think from what you're telling me and what I'm taking from this, it goes down to what you said before about being still. And about distilling, taking away all of these external propaganda pieces that are thrown at us, and going down to what really our essence, what makes us us, are we happy with who we are? And if we're not, what do we need to do to fix it? Because I remember from my pathway, my journey in this different way of looking at healthcare, it's about being able to be in sync with yourself. If there's anger, if there's fear, if there's hurt that's just suppressed, comes out as disease, doesn't it?
Well, ultimately, that's where the domino lands. We will, at some level, and we could bring in a few of the players that go along with this. Definitely is going to, we have to take into consider the toxins and the chemicals in our bodies, in our food, in our air, in our water. That's definitely going to break down. We definitely have to take into consideration that we live in a sympathetic state, sympathetic nervous system state. So we are in fight or flight, and that it's impossible to heal and regenerate in that state. Our body is not made to heal and regenerate in a sympathetic state. It's made to survive. And so everything from digestion to regeneration to healing to soothing the nervous system, healing the gut lining, seeing clearly through a thought process, all of that goes out the window because it's not the time to have a baby. It's not a time to regenerate the body. It's a time to run, fight, or hide. And so those are definitely key players. And if we give ourselves permission to enter again with critical thinking, what is the thing that's happening with all of us? It doesn't matter what political side you are. It doesn't matter what your belief system is about our medical system. It doesn't matter about what information is being presented. What matters is the distraction from self. So that's something that every one of us can come to the table with. No matter where you sit on any paradigm, we are all being over-distracted. We are everybody on, they think they're benefiting one another because we're all sending all of these podcasts and we're sending newsletters and we're sending updates and we're sending these YouTube videos and all of these different things because we want to share and enhance and grow and we all want to be informed. And we think because in this stress response that information is what we all need. And of course, there is a level of that. We do need to stay some level of informed. But we're putting the well-being of our mental and emotional and physical state at risk because we are not rebalancing our body. Our attention is outside of us. We are in the illusion that this is what's real. We are in the illusion that this is where our attention needs to go. And wherever our attention is, that's where our energy is. And if you are in a state where you are in a need to be in a healing paradigm, the last thing you need to do is engage those emotions in a negative way. The last thing you need to do is worry about what's happening in Australia. Where are these children going to go? What are we going to do about the next rollout from a pharmaceutical standpoint? What you need to put your attention in on is your consciousness, your energy, and your body. And in order to do that, you need to shut off everything that is going to be a distraction from that and monitor the self.
I couldn't have said it better. And I know we're going to take a break, but I want to start off the question so for you to think about in the break. Is this by design? Is this distraction, this overwhelming, just coming at us 24/7 things to keep us from being able to be quiet and to realign ourselves because we're being told how we should think, how we look, how we should react to other things, how we should basically live our lives based on what other people put on us as opposed to who we are as an essence. And I want to talk about that when we come back, because I think that's, to me, it's part of the problem. We care about what everybody else thinks instead of what we really are. And we're letting other people define us and give value to us. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Vicki Werner. And before the break, I asked a question, and it seems to me that everybody's worried about, and maybe it's ego-driven maybe, about people putting value on you, having clout, having followers. But none of that's about who you are. It's about what you present, the face you present to the world. And it's toxic. If you're a certain race, you're supposed to be a victim or a perpetrator. There's no way you can change something that's intrinsic about what you are, but someone else has put a value on you and you're just taking it. So is this by design so that we are so distracted, so defeated, that we don't think that we have the power anymore?
Oh, absolutely. It's by design. And I think it's kind of interesting if we look at it as an opportunity to say, okay, so we have small t truth. This is a truth that the small t truth is, you know, that whatever the narrative is, this is true to somebody. Somebody believes that this is the correct president, or this is the thing that you need to have as an injection, or the small t truth is whatever narrative. That doesn't matter. But we also have the big T, capital T truth. Capital T truth is universal truth. It is truth that applies to every one of us. Doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter our gender. It doesn't matter our nationality. It doesn't matter our socioeconomic status. And those things is consciousness, love, compassion, service. That we're here as students. We're here in the lab of life. That, you know, we're here to experience emotions. We're here to have challenges that will give us something to push against, so that we can start looking within. That's where our attention needs to be, and it takes some level of crisis, pain, or trauma, 99% of the time, for us to say, I don't like how I'm feeling anymore. This isn't working. What worked before is no longer working. And it takes that little bit of a resistance for us to take our attention off of the outer world and enter within. And so again, I could dance in joy at the possibility of what nature is doing for us right now. It's really, we are in the 11th hour of the greatest play field in the human history. And our consciousness and our ability to expand, our ability to transition from one level of consciousness to another level of consciousness in a single lifetime is an opportunity that all of us signed up for. And some of us will pass the test and some of us will not. Some of us will come through very scathed and some of us will come through as champions. But what really matters is that we engage with self, we engage with the soul, we engage with our relationship with the divine. And whatever that language is for you or for me, the divine is a higher energy source. To me, it's God. And what more beautiful opportunity to engage with a relationship and building your relationship with God than in the current status of what's going on in the world around us and in a healing paradigm. Those are the two greatest opportunities that we can have to have a relationship with God. And here we are talking about both of them.
And basically, once you make that paradigm shift, that changes reality, doesn't it? So if everybody's thinking in a different way about what's gratitude, empathy, what's good about them, and how they can share that with their fellow human, you know, human and whatever living creature, by the way, humanity and animal kingdom, that puts everybody in a better position. I think that raises the vibration of energy, doesn't it? Like those snowflakes or the sound waves that make perfect geometric forms just based on the sound being consonant as opposed to dissonant. It's intangible, but it's so powerful and it's easy, isn't it? Well, I take that back. It's not easy for some people, but it's a muscle and it's a practice. And you have to kind of know what you don't know and start that move. Everybody can learn it, in other words, can't they?
Correct. And yes, we all have to come from some level of unknown and start working towards a level of competence and a level of known. And so, of course, we're all on this journey. And we all have some level of consciousness, some level of spiritual development. But to enter this understanding, it's no more than shifting your perception. It's no more than closing one eye and opening another and seeing through a different lens. But the only way that we can do that is we have to be in a coherent, peaceful state. Because if we are already riled up, if we just went through our social media feed and we just listened to three or four doom and gloom posts, we just turned on the news and we were thinking we were only going to watch the weather, and then we just got to see the latest statistics and the latest tragedy, we are once again re-engaged into that sympathetic state. And we are in that stress response on average. Now, this was way before this COVID experience, this pandemic timeframe. Before that, the average person was between six and a half hours of stress response per day. And that gets very little time for healing and regeneration and consciousness. But I promise the one thing that is science, the one law that we do know now, is when you try to view and make changes during a time when your brain is a heightened stress response, you will make the wrong answer 100% of the time. You will always choose the wrong answer and the wrong decision, the wrong response, because again, you are in a stress response.
Wow. I didn't realize that, how it kind of keeps you on that wrong path. You really can't disconnect in order to have perspective. And then it just becomes a self-fulfilling.
Correct. And you can see very quickly you end up on a path very far away from where we know our natural state is. Our natural state is homeostasis. Our natural state is peace. Our natural state is compassion, is love, is service. But we are not going to be engaging in that when we are so busy trying to put out the fires in the outer world.
That's a good point. And, you know, we talked in the last show about techniques like the EFT technique, using aromatherapy, things that will actually help prime our parasympathetic system. So these are easy things that you can do. Everything's a process, but these are things that you can do. I'm feeling stressed. Let me disconnect by, you know, those are things that you can do quickly, right? To kind of center yourself when you're in the midst of these episodes.
Yes. The best thing we can do is to close our eyes and just enter a space of just breath. Just focus on your breath. The most important thing, well, I always teach others, and this is the thing that when I engage with somebody who is in some kind of trauma response, the only thing they need to do is, and I think I mentioned this before, but it's important to reiterate this: eat, but eat gently, nourish the body, rest as much as possible. Your body needs the time to regenerate. And move the body. I remember when a very close friend of mine, when I was 19 years old, was killed in a car accident. And that stress response, the only thing I could do was to put on my tennis shoes and run. There was so much moving through my body. But when we're in a struggle with our health, it isn't necessary to push your body in a space of uncomfortable position. But if we can, it's really healthy because we have all of these hormones that are moving through our body. We have the cortisol and the adrenaline, and those hormones, one is they suppress the immune system. Again, that's part of the agenda. If we're in fear, our immune system is suppressed and we're not able to use what God gave us. And two, that it becomes poison in the body if it doesn't leave the body. It becomes toxic. So in order to move that out of the body, at the very least, breathe. But at the most, do some kind of physical movement, some kind of physical activity. I really recommend walking outside in nature. Getting outside in nature is the most important because there's a harmony, there's a resonance of nature that can be very healing, and we can ground ourselves. If you can have an opportunity to take your shoes off and step into a stream of water and walk out in nature and just allow the flow and take some breath, those are great ways to recalibrate. But know what is your triggers. I don't encourage you spending time with people that are not aligned with you. I think that this Thanksgiving is going to be the Thanksgiving that most people are going to be joining with their tribe versus mm-hmm. the obligation more than any other time in history. We are gathering with those of like-minded consciousness. We are building our tribes and our teams around us. We are strengthening the union of relationships, and that we are taking ownerships. And again, this comes back to the divine purpose of what's going on. We could look at the narrative outside, but the narrative is never going to be the truth. The narrative is just giving us an opportunity to find the truth, but the truth will only be found when you are in a coherent, in a state of homeostasis and peace, and you can go within. And in that quiet voice, in that quiet stillness, that's when you are in communion with the divine. And that is the richest, most beautiful opportunity that each one of us has.
I mean, I pray for everybody to get to that because it's just so rich. It's full. It is how you recharge and how you become resilient to all of these insults and assaults that are coming at all of us as human beings. There's no way that anybody could 24/7 live in that space. Just shocked too, that people can live in a space of anxiety and fear just perpetually. I mean, I see it with certain patients, and I feel badly for them. You know, I want to be able to give them energy, to charge them, to give them peace. And it's difficult, you know, when you've had that amygdala just firing constantly with this fear, just taking over somebody's life. And we're living now in a space where we're going to see a lot more people that lose their health. And more importantly, people are going to have to start taking care of loved ones. And I want to discuss that when we come back, because caregivers have a really difficult time. And that's like an unsung hero. Everybody's had to be one at one time for their parent, for their child. But we're talking about society changing now and that becoming maybe the norm. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. Again, you can find Ms. Werner's work on vickiwerner.com. That's VickiWerner.com. That's where you can get her book. You can see, read her blogs. I think you have a blog, don't you? But I know your books and your media is all on that same website. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So I just want to jump in quickly because this is a big topic and no one ever talks about the caregiver. But, you know, my dad had to be a caregiver for my mom. I had to be a caregiver for my dad. And it's an emotional task to be the support, know the, you know, that you're living in a position where life is maybe teetering or it's precious, and you have to be the foundation, that the person who can handle it and not fall, not push your anxiety on the person trying to get well. I mean, this is huge. And I think it's a skill as well, isn't it?
Yes. It was very fascinating to be a bystander of the experience when I gave myself permission to just observe how different people showed up in my life when I was so sick, and how I was forced to show up as a caregiver for my husband. And by natural design, caregivers, the first line of caregivers is obviously going to be a family member, usually person who lives in the home for financial reasons. And obviously you have a direct relationship. You want the best for that individual. But I definitely have some guidelines I would like to share about definite do's and definite don'ts. When we're entering this space as a caregiver, we didn't go to high school into a class where they taught us, this is what happens when you become a caregiver. This is how you're going to handle it. This is how you're going to do emotional management. This is how you're going to have the support system. None of us are presented with that. So we kind of flail a little bit, and we make mistakes. We say the wrong things. We do the wrong things. But ultimately, we all have good intentions. But intentions can only carry so far if our emotions are drained, when we're in fear of the unknown, and we live in that perpetual stress state. And the most important thing that I'd like to share, before I go into the do's and don'ts, is that whether you think that this is happening because you're being punished by God, or whether it's a karma, or whether you think that if you're a caregiver and that you're doing the right thing and you become that noble dig in your heels, I'm going to take care of this person no matter what, and I love them, and yet you're grumbling under your breath when your husband's mother moves in and you end up having to change her dressing, or you end up having to listen to her rant about her health challenges, and you watch that she's made choices out throughout her life that you're thinking, well, this is why you're at the space where you're at, and here I am being the end result, and I'm the one who has to take care of this. We can relate. I think all of us can relate to that, how we would feel and how draining that would be. And I think the most important above all else is to respect your emotions, that it's okay to feel the way you do, to honor the feelings that you have. You don't want to reside there if it's an unhealthy one. You have to really monitor yourself. But if you're looking at things that you're doing these things through obligation and thinking that one day you're going to get praised in heaven, one day you're going to get these brownie points in heaven because when you die, that the gods and the angels are going to praise you because you suffered and sacrificed and gave of your attention, you're missing the point, because the most important point in all of this is the energy around it, and it's your intention. So if you are in service and you're grumbling about it, and you say nice things, but you're grumbling under your breath, and you're complaining to your best friend, and you're posting on social media what a burden your partner is or your mother-in-law is, then you're actually bypassing any kind of potential brownie points that you could have. What really matters is the spirit growth and the awareness of the energy that you're placing in it. What's your intention? So if you are out of alignment in any way from your thoughts, your emotions, or your behavior, then that's when you do a self-check. That's when you go back into self-care. That's when you step away from all obligations and say, all bets are off. I'm at ground zero and I need to recalibrate. My cup is empty. And then you can reemerge after a meditation, a nice warm bath, a lunch date with a friend, where you can just get that pressure off of the body, those emotional stressors off of the body, and you can come back in love and compassion and service, and you emerge as a greater opportunity to cultivate a deeper, more loving relationship. That's when the blockage of the ego is removed, when we're in that vulnerable state, when we know that somebody is potential that they could cross over, when we are in that unknown, we enter the vulnerability, and in that vulnerability, we enter our heart and we can connect at a deeper level, really get to know somebody's story, really get to know the depth of where they are, and really have that opportunity to use those opportunities as a mirror to self and how you can present as a greater version of yourself.
So from my take from that is that it's you let fear go, and you live in a gratitude space. It's not what you're going to lose, it's what you have. And isn't it living in the moment then?
Correct. Yes. The most important element is living in present time. Because we tend to dance between both sides of that paradigm. We either long for what was, and we live in the past, and we remember where the person was healthy, our loved one was healthy. We remember the promises that they had or our dreams. We remember the good times when they had vitality and we didn't feel that weighed down energy, or we project to the unknown future. And we worry about whether to buy Christmas presents, or we worry whether to make a long-term goal or to plan a family vacation, or we worry about the what ifs. We enter that space of what ifs, and we try to plan and organize, and that's again in that stress response. That's still the sympathetic response, is we try to control the environment. We try to micromanage the what ifs, and ultimately, it's really not in our hands. And if we can give ourselves permission to surrender and just let it all go, and trust that in this moment, all is well. And so when we dance in those two areas, of course, we're going to enter some level of anxiety, potentially some depression. Our emotions are going to flare out. We'll have a mental image, and we'll cascade into an enormous stress response. And again, trying to control the situation. So living in present time is crucial. And when you're not in present time, you're not aware and you're not in a conscious state. That's why meditation is so healing. That's why, because that's what it is. It's awareness and consciousness and breath. Just be in present time. And that's my favorite statement to say, because we don't know what next week's going to happen. We don't even know what's going to happen in an hour. But in this moment, all is well. And if we keep giving that as our mantra and trusting that we anchor into that truth, we can again reemerge with love and compassion to self and love and compassion for our loved one.
And so the corollary to that being able to let go is, you know, it's not about control then. It's about giving that. You can't control anything really. So is that ability to let go and kind of let God and being okay with that? You can't make someone love you. You can't make somebody do something. Something that's happened before has already happened. So is that ability to let go of that need to control, as if it's going to change something?
Right. And we can give ourselves compassion. I know I enter that control space too, when I'm trying to, I enter into that micromanaging control. Cause what we're really trying to do is be safe. When we don't feel safe in our body or we don't feel safe in our environment, of course we're going to try to control. That's a natural inclination. That's the human experience. But when we can surrender that control, and maybe it's best to give the opportunity to say, what is this here to teach me? What if there was a message, what would the divine want me to know right now? If my spirit guides could give me a message, if there was a future self that could give me a message, what would they tell me about this moment? We could extrapolate some information and some insight. We can do some intuitive hits or some, you know, automatic writing or journaling or some level of soul to soul conversations. And then we can enter that space of letting down control. If we can just recognize that in order to create order, disorder has to happen. That's the quantum law. And in order to get through this moment, we have to, and to see it from a space of opportunity, we have to shut off the outside possibilities, all of the messages from family and doctors and medical healthcare professionals, and all of these people are going to have opinion. I promise that no matter what's going on in your life, if there's somebody who's observing, they're going to have an opinion, and maybe their opinion matters and maybe it doesn't. But what really matters more than anything is that you enter that space of peace, that you have gratitude that in this moment, all is well. And no matter what, you will get through this. We will all get through this. And what a beautiful, delicious opportunity it is to cultivate a deeper relationship with self and a deeper relationship with the divine.
I think that's an excellent place to stop and reflect and be grateful that we actually got to hear you say this on our show today. So in the few seconds that we have left, how can people reach you, join your mentoring group, and get your book?
Well, great. Yes. Going to my website, I have a contact page there and you can sign up for our newsletter. I am in the process of starting a podcast myself. I've been told many, many times I need to do that. And I do have a couple of YouTube videos out. I've been focused on some my own healing, my own family's healing, and my past life regression practitioner is another one of my passions. And I have a lot of clients that contact me for that because it gives them an understanding of why they chose the path that they have and what the opportunity is with that. So that's again on my website at VickiWerner.com. And, you know, as Amazon or any of those things, my book is The Secret to Healing and Recovery is available there too.
Ms. Werner, thank you so much for joining me. I feel calm and relaxed, and I have even more of a doubling down on the purpose I have. And I want to thank you for everything you do once again.
Thank you so much. And God bless you.
God bless you too. And thank you everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.